Eddie, the senior year. Chapter 3. The indoor season, part 2. The following week, Kathy and Eddie meet Tracy, the real estate agent, at the house. On his birthday, Eddie signs the contract for the house. They decide on a closing date, which is right after the indoor track invitational meet. This will allow the seller enough time to get everything packed and move. This will also give Tracy more time to figure out exactly who Kathy is and why she is famous, as Paula and Mark hinted. Back at school, Chucky is not too happy with Lynn Burson. Lynn got a few good photographs of Chucky being carried over Bobby B's shoulder to the principal's office when Chucky and Goldstein caused an uprising in physics class earlier this school year. One photograph appeared on the front page of the school newspaper, making Chucky the laughingstock of the school. Mark, however, would argue that Chucky has always been the laughingstock of the school. What Chucky does not know is that a few other photographs of him being carried to Mr. Crumb's office will appear in the yearbook. Between first and second period, Chucky walks down the hallway behind Lynn during class change. Lynn has her books in one hand and, as expected, her camera hanging from her camera strap in her other hand. Seeing an opportunity to get back at Lynn for the humiliation she caused, Chucky strategically places his foot through Lynn's camera strap and briskly thrusts Lynn's camera to the floor. Lynn abruptly stops and picks up her camera, immediately seeing that the lens has been broken. Chucky laughs and tells Lynn, "I'm sorry. You should have been walking faster." Lynn lashes out at Chucky, "You idiot." Chucky replies, "You're the idiot, bitch. It was an accident." Lynn carefully examines her camera, seeing that Chucky has not only broken the lens, but has also damaged the camera body as well. Now extremely upset, Lynn exclaims, "You broke my lens and my camera." Chucky tries to grab Lynn's camera, but Lynn pushes him away. Making a second attempt and grabbing Lynn's camera, Chucky tells Lynn, "I didn't break it. Let me see it." Lynn pulls her camera away from Chucky, who now grabs Lynn and slams her up against the wall. Lynn screams, catching the attention of everyone in the hallway, including the attention of Axel Braden. Walking up to Chucky, Braden announces, "You shouldn't have done that." Braden forcefully grabs Chucky, and, bracing his foot against the wall, Braden shoves Chucky across the hallway with as much force as he can deliver. Chucky is abruptly greeted by a concrete block wall and suddenly falls to the ground. Chucky, now motionless, has been knocked out cold. On their way to class, the students just walk around Chucky. Meanwhile, Eddie asks Lynn, "Are you okay?" Crying her heart out, Lynn replies, "I'll be okay. But he broke my lens. And my camera isn't looking too good either." Lynn's camera, a Nikon F with a 50mm Nikkor lens, is quite expensive. Lynn is just happy that her high-end zoom lens, which she uses for sporting events, wasn't attached to the camera. Eddie tells Lynn, "We'll take up a collection and get you a new camera and lens." Mark comments, "Or make the Chucky pay for it." Eddie makes a note of Lynn's camera and lens model. Seeing that no good can come from standing in the hallway, Braden announces, "We'd better get to class, or we're gonna be late." Everyone agrees and heads off to class, leaving Chucky lying in the hallway. Braden fully understands that hanging around in the hallway is of no value. And, besides, someone will report to the administration that Chucky, lying in the hallway, has a slight problem. By the third period, the announcement is made over the loudspeaker, "Will Axel Braden, Edward Boganskaya, Mark Svoboda, and Lynn Burson please report to the principal's office immediately?" Over in the gym, Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Fraser, "I wonder what this is all about." Mr. Fraser replies, "I have no idea. Things have been relatively quiet all week." Mr. Zunday tells Mr. Fraser, "I'm going to go and see what's going on." Mr. Fraser replies, "Let me know if you find anything out." Mr. Zunday walks over to Mr. Crumb's office, wondering what kind of trouble the guys are in today. Braden, however, knows exactly what the meeting with the principal is about. Mr. Zunde arrives at the administrative offices, seeing Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Lynn seated, waiting to see Mr. Crum. Mr. Zunde asks Mrs. Marlowe, the secretary, "Do you know what the issue is today with these guys and Lynn?" Mrs. Marlowe replies, "It's about the fight in the hallway earlier today." Mr. Zunde replies, "Oh, really? What exactly happened?" Mrs. Marlowe replies, "I'm not sure. But it involves Charles Black, who has been sent home for the day." Mr. Zunde, hearing that Chucky is involved, now knows he is in for some interesting entertainment. Mr. Zunde turns to Eddie and asks what exactly happened this morning. Eddie replies that Chucky broke Lynn's camera and then started a fight with her. Braden broke up the fight. Mr. Zunde asks Eddie, "How were you involved?" Eddie replies, "I wasn't. I don't even know why I'm here." Mr. Zunde asks Mark, "And how were you involved?" Mark replies, "I wasn't involved either. But I saw the whole thing." Mr. Zunde asks, "Lynn, what happened to your camera?" Lynn explains, "Chucky broke my lens, and the camera body is all dented." Expecting to hear the worst, Mr. Zunde asks Braden, "And you broke up the fight?" Braden replies, "Yeah. Chucky shoved Lynn against the wall. So I pulled Chucky off of her and pushed his ass away. His flimsy ass got knocked out somehow when he hit the wall. But that wasn't my fault. He should have watched where he was going." Mark comments that Chucky ran right into that wall. "We all saw it." Mr. Zunde, without a doubt, knows this will be an interesting meeting with Mr. Crum. Mr. Crum opens his door, telling the group of students, "Get in here, all of you." Eddie walks in first, walking very slowly only to annoy Mr. Crum. Seeing only three guest chairs, Eddie decides to stand, taking a place next to Mr. Zunde, who stands next to Mr. Crum's broken bookcase. Mr. Crum asks Mr. Zunde, "This has nothing to do with athletics. So, just why are you here?" Mr. Zunde replies, "For the same reason I'm always here. There are three athletes seated in your office, so I've come to observe and watch the entertainment." Mr. Crum informs Mr. Zunde, "Fine. Just keep out of the discussion. I'm running this meeting." Always having the last word with Mr. Crum, Mr. Zunde replies, "Go ahead. Don't let me stop you." Braden kindly informs Mr. Crum, "Your desk still ain't looking too good. You ought to look into getting a new one. And your bookcase ain't looking too good either." Eddie and Mark laugh, knowing that it has been 2 years, and Mr. Crum's desk has not yet been replaced. Mr. Crum tries to ignore Braden's comment, but Braden's remark set the overall tone for today's meeting. Mr. Crum opens the meeting, informing everyone, "A very serious incident occurred in this school this morning. Charles Black is reported to have been beaten up by Axel Braden and, perhaps, a few others. Charles was knocked unconscious and eventually made his way to the nurse's office." Mark interrupts and asks, "If he was unconscious, how did he make his way to the nurse's office?" Mr. Crum exclaims, "He eventually woke up. Then he walked to the nurse's office. And please don't interrupt me again." Eddie laughs, clearly noticed by Mr. Crum. Mr. Crum continues, "I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Now, who wants to tell me what happened?" With no hesitation at all, Lynn replies, "I will." Mr. Crum coldly tells Lynn, "Go ahead. I'm waiting." Lynn explains, "Chucky slammed my camera to the ground with his foot and broke my lens and my camera. Then, he tried to take my camera from me. And when I wouldn't let him see it, he slammed me up against the wall. Then, Axel pulled Chucky off of me and pushed him away." Mr. Crum asks Lynn, "So, you started a fight?" Lynn exclaims, "No. Chucky started the fight. Mr. Crumb informs Lynn, "Nevertheless, you were involved in a fight. Fighting is not allowed in school." Mr. Zunday can't wait to see where this is going. Mr. Crumb addresses Braden, telling him, "Explain to me why you decided to get involved in the fight." Braden explains, "Chucky's fat ass is 3 times the size of Lynn. When Chucky slammed Lynn against the wall, I pulled him off of her and pushed him away. All I did is break up the fight. She don't stand a chance against his fat ass." Mr. Crumb asks Braden, "Would you care to explain to me how Charles got knocked out?" Braden replies, "Sure. When I pushed him away, he ran away. He must have got scared. But the wall got in his way. It looked like to me that he should have watched where he was going. His ass ran right into that wall." Mr. Crumb, suspecting that Braden had more of an involvement in the altercation, informs Braden, "As you know, Axel, fighting is not allowed in school." Braden informs Mr. Crumb, "Running in the hallway isn't allowed in school either. Chucky shouldn't have run into that wall. You ought to suspend his ass." Mr. Crumb sternly informs Braden, "I'm running this meeting, not you." Knowing that Mr. Zunday has his back, Braden replies, "Just don't run your ass into a concrete wall like Chucky did. Your ass might get knocked out too." Mr. Crumb, trying not to show his anger, asks Braden, "Do you really expect me to believe that Charles ran into the wall and got knocked out?" Eddie interjects, "We all saw it. The Chucky looked scared when he saw Braden. It looks like he made a run for it." Mr. Crumb takes this opportunity to ask Eddie, "And just how were you involved?" Eddie replies, "I wasn't." Mr. Crumb asks Eddie again, "You weren't involved?" Taking Mr. Crumb's question to be a statement, Eddie replies, "I'm glad you agree." Mr. Crumb, now getting irate, tells Eddie, "That was a question, not a statement. Now, please answer me." Eddie smiles and replies, "I wasn't involved. So, there. Go suspend someone else." Not wanting an argument with Eddie at the moment, Mr. Crumb turns to Mark and asks, "And how were you involved?" Mark replies, "I wasn't involved either." Mr. Crumb stupidly asks Mark, "Then, why are you sitting in my office?" Mark replies, "What are you, stupid or something? You called me to your office. That's why I'm sitting here. Jeesh." With his blood beginning to boil, Mr. Crumb boldly informs Mark, "Any further remarks like that out of you, and I'll suspend you immediately." Interrupting the meeting, Mr. Zunday informs Mr. Crumb, "No, you won't. You will not be suspending Mark. If you recall, you asked Mark why he is sitting in your office. I'm sure Mark did not show up on his own accord to watch this circus. And, as Mark clearly pointed out, you called him to your office." Eddie laughs, adding a little fuel to the fire. Mr. Crumb, quickly realizing that he will not win the argument with Mr. Zunday, replies, "I'll get back to that issue." Mr. Zunday wittingly replies, "No, you won't. Now, move on." Focusing again on Braden, Mr. Crumb asks, "So, you claim that you just pulled Charles off of Lynn?" Braden replies, "That's right. And his flimsy ass ran right into that wall." Lynn interjects, "Everyone saw it." Ignoring Lynn, Mr. Crumb asks, "Braden, did you look for a teacher?" Braden replies, "No. By the time anyone got there, Chucky's fat ass would have kicked Lynn's ass. And everybody knows there ain't no teachers in the hallway during class change." Mr. Crumb mulls over the situation and announces, "I'm sure all of you know that fighting is not allowed in school. Lynn and Axel, it is clear that both of you have been involved in a physical altercation, so I'm going to have to suspend both of you." Lynn exclaims, "How about my camera? Chucky broke it." Mr. Crumb informs Lynn, "There's nothing that I can do about that. Your parents will have to take that up with Charles' parents." Lynn, trying to hide her tears, tells Mr. Crumb, "This isn't fair." Braden tells Lynn, "Don't worry about nothing. If Mr. Crumb's ass is gonna suspend us for fighting, I'm gonna drag Chucky's ass across the street after school someday and kick the shit out of him off school grounds. And there won't be any witnesses. Then, I'll just keep kicking his fat ass until he buys you a new camera. And there ain't nothing Mr. Crumb can do about it." Mr. Crumb turns an eerie shade of white and tells Braden, "No, you won't." Braden asks Mr. Crumb, "Oh yeah. And who's gonna stop me? I can tell you it ain't gonna be you." Mr. Zunday interrupts and informs Mr. Crumb, "You really have a sticky situation here. First, it's clear that Charles Black destroyed Lynn's camera. Second, all Braden did was to pull Charles off of Lynn and push him aside. Breaking up a fight cannot be construed as fighting in school. You should already know that since we've been over that many times before. And I might add, there are no witnesses contrary to what you've heard here today. If anyone is to be suspended, it should be Charles Black." Mr. Crumb replies, "It's clear, Mr. Zunday, that Charles, Axel, and Lynn were fighting in school." Mr. Zunday replies, "So what? Go ahead and suspend them then. But I can assure you of this. When Braden kicks the shit out of Charles Black off school grounds, I can guarantee you, you will not be suspending him." Mr. Zunday just gave Braden the green light to kick the shit out of Chucky, but to do it off of school grounds. Mr. Crumb sits back in his chair, analyzing the situation. Mr. Crumb realizes that Braden could easily make good on his threat to kick the shit out of Chucky off of school grounds, and there is nothing that Mr. Crumb can do about it. And Mr. Zunday, pointing out that there are no witnesses to the contrary, has again checkmated Mr. Crumb. Realizing that he is in a no-win situation, Mr. Crumb announces, "Okay. For right now, I'm not suspending anyone. But I have my eyes on every single one of you." Hearing that phrase many times before, Eddie laughs. Mark asks Mr. Crumb, "Can we go now? We're missing class." Mr. Crumb brashly replies, "Yeah. Get to class. I'll deal with this later." Which he won't. Mr. Zunday will make sure of it. Out in the hallway, Mr. Zunday asks Braden, "What really happened in the hallway this morning?" Braden explains, "It went down just like I said. I pulled Chucky off of Lynn and pushed him away. But I braced my foot against the wall and pushed his ass real hard. I'm surprised his ass didn't go right through that wall." Mark adds, "The Chucky did take a step or two. So, it looked like he was running to me." Mr. Zunday laughs and tells Braden, "I think you scared Mr. Crumb a bit when you told him you were going to kick Chucky's ass off school grounds until he pays for Lynn's camera." After a short conversation, the students head back to class. Mr. Zunday heads back to the gym and will inform Mr. Fraser of what happened. The next day, Eddie arrives at school and walks into the first period classroom. Eddie places a bag on Lynn's desk and walks toward the window, taking a seat with the tribe. Looking across the room, Eddie sees tears of happiness coming from Lynn's eyes. Inside the bag is a brand new Nikon F2, which is one model newer than her Nikon F, and a 50mm lens just like the one Chucky broke. In the bag is also an auto winder, an expensive option that Lynn did not have on her camera that Chucky destroyed. Regardless of Mr. Crumb being on the warpath, the track season progresses well. This year, Northside wins every meet, often winning every event. Many of the athletes have already qualified for the state invitational meet, already delivering performances superior to last year's. Mr. Fraser was able to find Joe Sepulveda, a freshman high jumper. Sepulveda didn't try out for the indoor track team simply because he was unaware that there was a high jump event during the indoor season. Mr. Fraser invited Sepulveda to one of the practice sessions, discovering that he is more than competitive enough for the team. Sepulveda was subsequently added to the team roster. Early one Saturday morning, Eddie and Mark head out to a track meet. This meet, however, is not their meet. This is Kathy's and Paula's meet. The university is participating in a divisional track meet, with 12 colleges and universities competing. Held at the Coliseum, which hosts the high school state invitational meet every indoor track season, the turf is very familiar to Kathy and Paula. Today, however, Eddie and Mark will not be anywhere near the track, but will be sitting in the stands. Eddie meets up with Mark in the stands, waiting for the meet to begin. Looking down from their seats, they spy Kathy and Paula standing with their teammates. Mark mentions to Eddie, "Well, this is certainly a different perspective." Eddie replies, "Yeah. I feel like I should be warming up or doing something." Walking to the lower level, they try to get Kathy and Paula's attention. Finally making eye contact, the girls know where their support team is seated, ready to cheer them on as they compete. The meet begins with the men's 40-yard dash. In college, the men do not compete with the women, so Kathy and Paula will be only running against other women. Eddie and Mark watch as the men's 40-yard dash gets underway. Both bringing their stopwatches, Eddie and Mark time the events as they are run. Finding that most of the times are in the upper 5 to lower 6-second range, Eddie and Mark are not overly impressed. Eddie does some quick math in his head and figures out that a 10-second 100-yard dash is 10 yards per second. The rough equivalent in the 40-yard dash would be 4 seconds. At the start of any sprint, there is a time loss because the runners are starting from a standstill. Accounting for this, a time in the mid to lower 4-second range would seem more competitive. Eddie mentions, "These guys aren't too fast." Mark replies, "I can see that. No one's run faster than us yet." After the men are finished with their preliminary heats, the women are up in the 40-yard dash. The first heat is run, with the runners delivering times that Kathy and Paula have beaten before. Kathy and Paula are up in the second heat. Standing behind the blocks, Kathy and Paula are carefully checked out by their competition. Kathy, at 6 feet tall and 180 pounds, and Paula, at 5 feet, 11 inches, and 175 pounds, tower over most of the runners. With a very closed circle in track and field, one of the competitors, wearing number 322, mentions to Kathy, "Hey, I haven't seen you before." Kathy tells her, "I'm a freshman. I'm so excited. This is my first big meet." Number 322 tells Kathy, "These girls are fast. Good luck." Kathy replies, "Oh, thank you very much. Good luck to you, too." The starter announces, "On your marks." The women get into the blocks. The starter announces, "Set." The runners get in the set position. Kathy is ready to run and, even though she is a freshman and this is her first big race, she fully expects to win. The buzzer is sounded and Kathy lets out her trademarked primal scream as she leaves the blocks. A few yards out of the blocks, no one is clearly in the lead. A few yards later, Kathy and Paula break from the pack. Halfway through the race, Kathy is in the lead, with Paula close behind. Paula and Kathy, for some reason, always seem to run better when they are up against each other. Today is no exception. Kathy crosses the finish line first, with Paula right behind her. The rest of the pack finishes a half second to a second later. After the race is over, with a bit of an attitude, the 322 girl tells Kathy, "Well, that was pretty good for a freshman." Kathy replies, "I hope I ran fast enough to make the final." The 322 girl, not knowing how to react, tells Kathy, "Well, from the looks of things, you have a lot better chance than the rest of us." Listening to Kathy, Paula is amused. Kathy knows she has made the final. Paula also has made the final and knows it as well. Eddie and Mark, watching from the bleachers, cheer, both knowing that Kathy and Paula have made the final. They can see it on their stopwatches. On the track, Kathy seems to have developed a new personality. Kathy, conducting herself with a very pleasant and friendly, yet naive, attitude at the starting line, acts as if she's never run in a race before. This gives the opposition the impression that she is an easy takedown on the track. At the end of the race, Kathy gives the impression that she does not know how well she's done. After all, using Braden's tactics on the track is not likely to work beyond high school. And these are college students. Mark's distraction techniques probably won't fly too far either. Before lunch, the call is made for the women's 40-yard dash final. As expected, Kathy and Paula have both qualified. Watching from the stands, Eddie and Mark are sitting at the edge of their seats. Kathy and Paula, spotting Eddie and Mark in the stands, wave to their boyfriends. At the starting line, the contenders look each other over, seeing if they recognize anyone from prior competitions. One contender, wearing number 485, coldly asks Kathy, "So, you're the freshman?" Kathy replies, "Yeah. This is my first big meet. Paula's a freshman too." Paula waves to number 485, not saying anything. Apparently, the girl wearing number 485 is not too friendly. The starter tells everyone, "This is the final for the 40-yard dash. Good luck to all of you. On your marks." Announcing, "Set," the starter watches carefully as everyone gets ready to run. The buzzer sounds, and the runners are off. Kathy, letting out her primal scream, startles the runner next to her. After 10 yards, number 485 is in the lead. Kathy has a lot of work to do, and only 30 yards left to do it. Knowing that it is not Eddie in front of her, Kathy cannot allow number 485 to win. Giving it her best, by 30 yards into the race, Kathy overtakes number 485. Paula is right behind Kathy, tied with number 485. Not letting up, Kathy pushes herself toward the finish line harder than she ever has in her life. At the finish line, Kathy takes first place. Paula edges out the girl wearing number 485 by a few inches, taking second place. Not very happy with the outcome of the race is the girl wearing number 485, taking third place. Kathy and Paula give each other a high five. Kathy exclaims, "That was fun." At their first big meet of their college career, they both placed in the one event that is usually won by juniors or seniors. As the 485 girl looks at Kathy and Paula in disgust, Paula whispers to Kathy, "I think we made a new friend." She doesn't seem too happy that she lost. Kathy whispers back to Paula, "Then she should run faster." Seeing Kathy and Paula win, Eddie gives Mark a high five. Eddie and Mark cheer, wishing they could be down on the track to greet the winners. But, for today, they are stuck in the stands as spectators. The plan was to meet Kathy and Paula after the 40-yard dash final and find some lunch. Eddie and Mark see Kathy and Paula heading to the locker room, so they decide now is a good time to go and meet them. Kathy and Paula exit the locker room, and upon seeing Eddie and Mark, Kathy exclaims, "Did you see us run?" Eddie replies, "Yeah. That was awesome." The couples kiss and walk around looking for a bite to eat. Paula asks, "So, what's it like being up there in the nosebleed section?" Mark replies, "I feel like I'm left out of the action." Paula replies, "Oh, now I feel sad." They find some lunch, but Kathy and Paula have to eat light. Their next race is an hour away, which is the mile medley relay, where they'll be joining Barbara and Janice. After lunch, Eddie and Mark head back up to the stands, and Kathy and Paula rejoin their team. The call is made for the mile medley relay. Kathy, Paula, Barbara, and Janice, making a great team, will be running this event. Kathy and Paula will each be running the 220-yard legs, Janice will be running the 440-yard leg, and Barbara will be running the 880-yard leg. Paula, who is slightly stronger in the 220-yard event, will be leading off. She will be handing off to Kathy, as she did last year in high school. Their heat comes up, which is the first heat in this event. On the track with Paula is the girl wearing number 485, who was edged out by Paula earlier today in the 40-yard dash. The starter announces, "On your marks." Paula is ready, but the 485 girl, staring at Paula, has a score to settle. The starter announces, "Set." The buzzer sounds, and Paula takes off, as if she is taking control of this event. After all, anything 220 yards long is her race. During the first 50 yards, the 485 girl, in the lead, is running a strong race, giving Paula a run for her money. The other contenders are slightly behind, but this is college. The runners in the field are the best of the best. At the halfway mark, Paula takes a slight lead. The 485 girl glances over at Paula, wondering who she is and where she came from. During the last half of the race, it's all Paula. Making some decent gains over the pack, Paula hands off to Kathy, who leaves the transition zone letting out her primal scream. Kathy takes off like an Amazon woman on a mission. Not about to be caught, Kathy maintains the lead. This team has practiced together for several months. If Kathy can deliver her baton to Janice before anyone else hands off, their team will likely win. As Kathy approaches the transition zone, Paula cheers her on. The 485 girl, standing with her hands on her hips, quickly realizes that there are a few new kids on the block. Kathy hands off to Janice, who now has almost a 10-second advantage. Kathy lies on the ground to catch her breath, watching as Janice rounds the track. Back up in the stands, Eddie comments to Mark, "Wow. It looks like they both ran an awesome leg." Mark mentions, "Yeah. I can see that. It also seems like everyone gets along really well with their opponents." Eddie replies, "That's because you, me, and Braden aren't down there running, bro." Mark laughs and replies, "Yeah, all that psychological warfare we started with McCutcheon in 7th grade. Look at how many races it has won us. Even Mr. Fraser is in on it now." Eddie comments, "Yeah, and it's not only on the track. Mr. Zunday tears Mr. Crumb to shreds every chance he gets." Back on the track, Janice, still in first place, hands off to Barbara. Last year, no one was able to pass Barbara on the track in this event, or any event for that matter. On the flip side, Barbara passed quite a few runners in this race last season. Barbara's best half mile is just over 2 minutes. If anyone gets remotely close to her, she has more under the hood than anyone can tell. By the end of her second lap, Barbara realizes she has the race wrapped up, but she does not slow her pace. There are other heats today, so everyone must run their best. On her last lap, Barbara sprints toward the finish line, taking first place in their heat. The relay team members exchange hugs and head to the team bench. Eddie and Mark sit back and relax, watching as the meet moves from one event to another. With barely a minute or two between heats, the meet moves along very quickly. Eddie mentions to Mark, "The college meets seem to move along a lot faster." Remembering what Mr. Ruff pulled during the first meet this year, Mark adds, "It's because that Centerville coach, Mr. Ruff, isn't here." From the stands, the meet seems to move along smoothly. Unknown to Eddie and Mark, many of the athletes on the other teams get seriously irate when they lose, but they hide it well. This is because scholarships are on the line. If the athletes don't perform and win, they could lose their scholarships. The end of the meet brings the awards ceremony. With 12 teams competing, winning an award is a great honor. The meet announcer introduces today's officials and recognizes the athletes for their efforts today. The announcer mentions that a lot of good times have been delivered today, and the competition has stepped up a notch this year. It's no secret to some to whom the announcer is referring. The announcement introducing the winners of the 40-yard dash is made. Kathy's name is called, and she stands on the first place tier. Paula's name is called next, and she stands on the second place tier. The girl wearing the number 485 takes her place on the third place tier. Number 485, a junior named Liz Duncan, now has a name to go with her number. Anyone who has been around this division knows that Liz fully expected to take first place in the 40-yard dash today. As Liz looks over at Kathy and Paula with an evil eye, it's not hard to see her discontent. The winners are draped with their medals, and the crowd cheers. As they leave the stage, Liz whispers to Kathy and Paula, "You two are going down." Ignoring the comment, Kathy and Paula return to the bench, where they are congratulated by their coaches and team. Later in the ceremony, Kathy, Paula, Janice, and Barbara are called to the stage again. This time, they receive the gold medal in the mile medley relay. Liz, whose team won the silver medal in this event today, expected to win the gold medal, as they did last year. The freshmen have apparently posed a bit of a problem for some of the upperclass. The gold medalists in the mile medley relay wave to the crowd as they leave the stage, and the crowd cheers. After the ceremony, Eddie and Mark meet up with Kathy and Paula. Eddie gives Kathy a hug and a kiss, as does Mark to Paula. The girls show off their medals, which they really weren't expecting to win today. Eddie and Mark get to meet the rest of the university's team again. The coaches remember Eddie and Mark from last autumn, when they participated in this team's time trials. Dr. Braun, the head coach, jokingly mentions to Eddie and Mark, "If I knew you guys were here, I would have put you in a uniform." On the way out of the Coliseum, Eddie mentions to Kathy and Paula, "It looks like all the teams get along well." Kathy informs Eddie, "Not for a split second." Eddie asks, "Really?" "It seems like everyone talked and smiled a lot." Kathy explains, "If talk is you two are going down," and sarcastically asking, "So, you're the freshman, then yeah, there was a lot of that." Paula mentions, "Almost everyone out there is on scholarship. If they lose races, they could lose their scholarship." Seeing the light, Eddie remarks, "Yeah, I can see that." Kathy adds, "And the smiles were usually accompanied by snide comments like, 'I didn't expect to see you here this year.'" Mark mentions, "That's a good one. I'm going to use that on someone." With four people and four vehicles, Kathy, Paula, Eddie, and Mark decide to head to the pizzeria for dinner. Kathy and Paula didn't get much to eat today since they had to run. And, at the pizzeria, Joe will be glad to see Kathy and Paula draped with their medals. The plans, after having pizza, are to find somewhere and relax for a while. They all head out, with everyone happy that Kathy and Paula placed in their first big meet. A few weeks into the winter semester, a familiar face finally returns to school. After being absent for a few weeks, Goldstein, who is out on bail, walks into physics class, along with Chucky. Goldstein boldly takes a seat next to Braden, and Chucky takes a seat next to Eddie. Haynes, who has been sitting on the other side of the classroom, takes a seat next to Wendy. Eddie pays neither of them any attention, but rather continues talking with the tribe about the next upcoming four-way meet. Goldstein, whose jaw was broken by Braden during tryouts after Goldstein tripped him on the track, now has his jaw wired shut. Goldstein's right shoulder, which suffered torn muscles, torn tendons, and a severe dislocation, is in a sling. Unable to write or speak, Goldstein is clearly only in school for attendance purposes. Miss Amherst walks in and, astutely recognizing a potentially serious problem, tells Goldstein and Chucky to move to the other side of the classroom. Miss Amherst is not too concerned with Haynes, who usually sleeps in class. Chucky and Goldstein remain seated and ignore the teacher's command. Requesting one more time that Goldstein and Chucky relocate to the other side of the classroom, Miss Amherst is again ignored. Subsequently, Miss Amherst tells Lynn Burson to go to the administration office and get either Mr. Crumb or Mr. Shapiro. As Lynn leaves, Chucky still remains in his seat with his arms crossed. Goldstein would probably have his arms crossed too, but his right arm is pretty much non-functional. And, with his jaw wired shut, he has nothing to say. Braden whispers to Mark, who is sitting next to him, maybe he can't hear shit anymore. Mark whispers back, well, you did break his skull. Braden returns the comment, yeah, but there ain't nothing worth a shit up there anyway. Mark replies, good point. Lynn Burson returns to the classroom with Mr. Crumb. Mr. Crumb asks Miss Amherst, what is the problem here? Miss Amherst explains, I've asked Charles and Andrew to move to the other side of the classroom twice. They've completely ignored my request. The idiot that he is, Mr. Crumb asks, why did you ask them to move? What's the problem? Wondering why she even has to answer Mr. Crumb's stupid question, Miss Amherst tells Mr. Crumb, the last time Charles and Andrew were sitting next to the track team, Charles and Andrew both started a fight. With no other choice, Mr. Crumb tells Chucky and Goldstein, Charles and Andy, you can either move to the other side of the room or follow me back to my office. Which will it be? Slow to move, Chucky stands up, followed by Goldstein. Wanting the white-hot spotlight, Chucky punches Eddie in his shoulder a few times with all that he has as he walks up the aisle. Seen by Mr. Crumb, Miss Amherst, and the whole class this time, Mr. Crumb cannot blame Eddie for starting a fight. Barely feeling the punches, Eddie cries out, please, please, someone stop the Chucky from beating me up. Someone, please get Erica. I can't take it anymore. No, wait. We're supposed to get a teacher. Someone find Mr. O'Brien. Eddie pretends to cry, and the class laughs hysterically. Mr. Crumb exclaims, that's enough out of both of you. Charles, get to my office immediately. Goldstein is at least wise enough to take a seat on the other side of the classroom. Goldstein may have learned something in the last few weeks. Either that, or he doesn't want to land in the hospital again. Chucky, however, on his way out of the classroom, decides to kick the shit out of Mr. Crumb. Chucky proceeds to pummel Mr. Crumb, hitting the principal at will in his midsection. At 150 pounds and grossly out of shape, Mr. Crumb is no match for the 200-pound Chucky. Mr. Crumb falls to the floor and yells out, someone, do something. On the floor, Chucky continues to pound Mr. Crumb. Eddie yells back, I'll do something if you don't suspend me. The whole class laughs at Eddie's remark. Mr. Crumb yells out, okay, okay. Somebody, get him off of me. The whole class heard what Mr. Crumb said. Mr. Crumb just agreed to not suspend Eddie. And, as Mr. Crumb is being beaten, one student comments, fighting isn't allowed in school. Mr. Crumb should be suspended. Eddie gets up out of his seat, which is unnoticed by Chucky. Eddie grins and points to the fence, telling Mark, I'm belting his ass to the fence. Mark tells Eddie, I'm coming. Without hesitation, Braden says, me too. Eddie grabs Chucky by the arm, lifting him off Mr. Crumb. Placing Chucky in an arm lock, Eddie takes him out of the classroom, accidentally running Chucky's face into the door on the way out. The whole class moves to the window to watch what is about to go down. Mr. Crumb, however, is very slow to get up. Eddie directs Chucky, still in an arm lock, to his favorite fence, as Braden and Mark follow. Arriving at the fence, Eddie tells Chucky, if you move, I'm kicking your ass worse than Braden kicked Goldschitz. Chucky, sobbing like a baby, screams out, no. Not this again. Stop. Eddie belts Chucky to the fence, with the belt buckle on the other side of the chain link fence. With Chucky's back to the fence, He's not likely to escape on his own. Brayden comments, so, that's how it's done. Eddie replies, yeah. The Chucky will let you practice on him as much as you'd like. Won't you, Chucky? Mark comments, cool. He's strapped in there really good. He couldn't get out if he wanted to. That's not news to Chucky, who will have to wait a while for someone to come and rescue him. Eddie, Mark, and Brayden walk back into the classroom, where the students all cheer. Even Miss Amherst, who enjoyed the entertainment, laughs. Eddie asks, where's Mr. Crumb? Did he get sent to the principal's office for fighting? Miss Amherst laughs, but informs Eddie, some of the students helped him to the nurse's office. He got beat up pretty bad. Eddie replies, that's just too bad. He shouldn't have been fighting in school. Miss Amherst walks toward the window, checking to see whether Chucky is still belted to the fence. Mark informs Miss Amherst he's going to be there for a while. Miss Amherst tells Lynn, Lynn, would you please go and tell Mr. Shapiro that Charles Black is belted to the fence? Also, please inform Mr. Shapiro that Charles is cutting my class, and that I'm not too happy about it, and that I will be sending him to detention. Lynn replies, sure. Miss Amherst tells Lynn, thank you. And please take your time. There's no rush. And please feel free to take your camera and get a good picture of Charles before he is released. Lynn leaves to get the photograph and to get Mr. Shapiro as Miss Amherst begins today's lesson. Class change occurs and Chucky is still belted to the fence. Mr. Crumb is in the nurse's office. The whole school is now aware that Chucky is belted to the fence, and many of the students in the school watched from the windows as it happened. Mr. Shapiro, afraid of approaching Chucky alone, is hunting down a bodyguard so he can perform his administrative duties. During second period, Mr. Shapiro, escorted by Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunday, comes to rescue Chucky. As if he didn't know already, Mr. Zunday asks Chucky, why are you out here cutting class? Chucky, still sobbing, exclaims, Eddie belted me to the fence. Mr. Zunday replies, oh, really? That's just too bad. I'll have to ask him later why he did that. Mr. Zunday goes to the other side of the fence to undo the buckle. Mr. Zunday, who has seen Eddie's handiwork before, tells Mr. Fraser, hey George. Come and take a look at this. This is what I've been telling you about. He couldn't get out of this if he wanted to. Mr. Fraser takes a look, laughs hysterically, and replies, ingenious. So, this is what I've been hearing about. Mr. Zunday frees Chucky, who is escorted back to the school, specifically to the assistant principal's office. For the rest of the day, Eddie, Mark, and Brayden anxiously wait to be called to the principal's office. The call never came. At track practice that afternoon, Eddie asks Mr. Zunday, what's up with Mr. Crumb and Chucky? Mr. Zunday explains to Eddie, Miss Amherst filled me in on what happened. I don't think Mr. Crumb will be bothering you about this one. As for Chucky, he will probably be suspended or expelled. And, as for Mr. Crumb, he left early to go to the doctor. Eddie replies, wow. Erica really kicked the shit out of Chucky last year. Imagine what she can do to Mr. Crumb. Thinking for a minute, Mr. Zunday tells Eddie, fortunately, Erica's a whole lot smarter than Chucky. A week before the state invitational meet, Mr. Fraser has the team assemble in the arena for an announcement. Opening his meeting, Mr. Fraser announces, as you know, we have a lot of athletes going to the state meet again this year. I will run down the list, and then I have some interesting news. Mark comments to Eddie, I wonder what kind of news he has. Eddie replies, Mr. Crumb is going to be the new assistant coach. Mark laughs at Eddie's comment, as Mr. Fraser continues, in the 40-yard dash, we have Eddie going. In the 220-yard dash, Mark. In the 440-yard dash, Brayden. In the 880-yard run, Mitchell, Akinmola, and Johnson. In the mile, Mitchell and Akinmola. In the shot put, Bobby B. Now for the relays. In the mile medley, Hoffa, Erika, Tessa, and John. In the 4x440 relay, Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Johnson. And finally, in the 4x880 relay, Akinmola, Johnson, Mitchell, and Amber. I cannot even express how pleased I am with the entire team this year. With more athletes going to the state invitational meet than any prior year, the team cheers. Mr. Fraser announces, "Now for the interesting news." Mr. Ruff, the Centerville coach, has lodged an official complaint with the state. He believes some of the athletes on this team are taking steroids, leading to better performance on the track. The state has heard his complaint, and everyone participating in the state meet this year will have to undergo a drug test for performance-enhancing drugs. Dr. Janet Barnett, who is sitting on the end of the bleachers, will escort everyone whose name I have just called to the restrooms in the school lobby, where you will have to pee in a cup. If I have called your name, please follow Dr. Barnett upstairs now. On the way up the stairs, Eddie comments, "I wonder where all this came from." Mark smiles and mentions, "I know where." Eddie asks, "Well?" Mark explains to Eddie, "During the first four-way meet this year, I overheard Mr. Ruff telling some other coach that it looks like we're all taking steroids. So, when I passed by McCrutchen, I whispered, 'Steroids.' That's where it's at, to him after the 4x440 relay." Eddie replies, "Seriously? That's kind of funny. And he believed you." Mark tells Eddie, "If he fell for the prickly spider thing, he'll fall for anything. And anything McCrutchen finds out, he always tells his stupid coach." The state invitees line up in the school lobby in front of a restroom. They go in one at a time, where an official restroom monitor makes sure the sample is properly collected and delivered. Dr. Barnett takes this opportunity to inform the athletes of the dangers of taking steroids. She also mentions that, due to time constraints, they will learn of their results on the day of the state invitational meet. One by one, they submit their samples and head back to practice. The next week goes rather well for the team in the sense that no one has heard from Mr. Crum. For some unknown reason, Chucky is still in school. The rumor is that Chucky's mother entered the school in a furor, telling Mr. Crum that something must be done about Eddie. Somehow, Chucky's mother is convinced that Eddie is to blame for Chucky's rage when he beat up Mr. Crum. On other fronts, a few students try to start up a conversation with Goldstein, knowing that he still has his jaw wired shut and can't speak. After seeing what almost happened to Chucky, Goldstein figures that being on the business end of another fight with the tribe might not be too wise. With any luck, Goldstein and Chucky might make it to graduation in one piece. The morning of the state invitational meet arrives, and the invitees meet at the school. Eddie drives to the school, picking up Kathy on the way. Kathy is not only excited because of the meet, but, in a week, she and Eddie will own the home they have been looking forward to. The team gets on the bus, taking the short trip to the arena where the meet is held. Another bus, which is full, carries the spectators. Any overflow is directed to the team's bus. The bus driver takes a route to the arena through the town behind the high school, taking the scenic route today, which will add about 5 miles to the trip. On the way to the meet, Kathy stares out the window, admiring how beautiful the wooded neighborhoods are. As the bus passes by the road that their future house is on, Kathy tells Eddie, "Look, hun. That's where we're going to live." Eddie tells Kathy, "It really is peaceful around here." Kathy sighs and puts her head on Eddie's shoulder. After the 13-mile drive, the bus arrives and the team disembarks. The team meets in their designated bench area. Barbara, Kathy, and Paula fill the runners in on what is known about the competition. The big news this year is that there is a runner from Liberty High School who will give Braden a run for his money. John Cavallari, a senior from Northport, will be fighting Mitchell and Akinmola for the gold medal in the mile. Wendy informs Bobby B that he has no competition in the shot put this year. Eddie will be up first in the 40-yard dash and is again the number one seed. Mr. Ruff, the Centerville coach, walks by the north side bench, checking out Mr. Fraser's team. When the team sees Mr. Ruff, a few of the athletes stand up and break into bodybuilding poses. Mr. Ruff is certain that the whole team will be disqualified due to steroid use. Mr. Ruff, whose only entry this year is his 4x440 relay team, expects to see his team proudly stand on the first place tier. Mr. Parker, the coach from Henderson High School, is absent today. All of his talent has graduated last year, and his team is in the rebuilding mode. The call is made by the meet announcer for the 40-yard dash. The team wishes Eddie good luck. Mr. Fraser, Eddie, and Kathy head to the starting line. Since Eddie is the number one seed, he is in the first heat. Eddie's only real competition this year is Dwayne Harris, running for Central. With such a vague school name, everyone wonders where Central is. Mark had commented once that Central is in the middle of nowhere. With the race about to start, Mr. Fraser and Kathy move over to the coach's area located near the finish line. The starter tells the first heat to get ready. Eddie sets his blocks and, looking over at Dwayne Harris, mentions, "I really didn't expect to see you here this year." Harris asks, "Why not?" Eddie doesn't answer Harris, leaving great uncertainty as to why Eddie offered the comment. The starter announces, "On your marks." The runners appear to be ready, and the starter announces, "Set," followed in a few seconds by the buzzer. Eddie is out of the blocks and, at 10 yards, is in the lead. At 20 yards, Eddie has clearly broken from the pack. Crossing the finish line first, Eddie heads right to Kathy, who is standing with Mr. Fraser. Harris finishes in second place, with a performance that could probably win the gold medal if it were not for Eddie. Mr. Fraser gives Eddie a high five, telling him, "Way to go. Way to go." The second heat approaches the starting line, and Eddie, Kathy, and Mr. Fraser walk back to the team area. On the way, Mr. Fraser informs Eddie that he will be in the final, but Eddie already knew that. The final for the 40-yard dash will be coming up earlier than normal this year, so Eddie rests on the bench with Kathy. Mark is up next in the 220-yard dash, so Mr. Fraser and Paula head to the starting line. Eddie asks Kathy, who appears to be deep in thought, "What are you thinking about?" Kathy replies, "Our house. We'll have a lot of time to make everything just like we want it. I was picking out colors in my head. And all that wallpaper has to go." Eddie agrees, telling Kathy, "Yeah. That's the first thing we've got to get rid of." Kathy asks, "So, when are we going to find the time to do all this?" Eddie informs Kathy, "We're not. We're going to hire Mark and his father. That's what they do for a living." Kathy exclaims, "Wow. And all this time, I was wondering how we were going to get all this stuff done." Kathy tells Eddie, "Braden's up next, so I got to run." Kathy and Braden head to the starting line along with Mr. Fraser. Already at the starting line is Mikhail Sokolov, the 440-yard dash star from Liberty High School. With him is his coach, Viktor Pushkin, who looks like he defected from Russia with only the clothes on his back years ago and hasn't bought anything since. Kathy tells Braden, "There's your only competition. His name is Mikhail Sokolov. He's been unbeaten all year." Braden exclaims, "That's coming to an end. Ain't no one kicking my ass. Bring it on. Let's get this ass kicking underway." While Braden is ranting, Mr. Fraser tells Kathy, "It appears like we're up against the Russian Olympic team." While Braden is getting onto the track, Kathy looks over at Sokolov, noticing he looks worried. Sokolov has heard about Braden and knows that Braden is the number one seed in this event. Sokolov should be worried. The starter tells the runners to get ready and move to their lanes. Mr. Fraser and Kathy move over to the coach's area. The starter announces, "On your marks." Braden can hardly be still. Announcing, "Set," the starter waits for the runners to be motionless, which seems difficult for Braden. The buzzer sounds, and the S kicking is underway. Braden, although he is in the lead at 110 yards, quickly realizes that this is not going to be an easy race. Sokolov is surprisingly keeping up rather well with Braden. In the coach's area, in his Russian accent, Mr. Pushkin tells Mr. Fraser, "Your man is very good. I've heard about him." Mr. Fraser replies, "Thank you. And it looks like your guy is pushing him hard." As Braden approaches the 220-yard split, Mr. Fraser exclaims, "He's clocking at a 46. Braden, in the lead, is on track to break the state record. Kathy yells, "Faster," which Braden hears as he is running. Kathy tells Mr. Fraser, "If Braden's on track for a 46, Sokolov is sub 50. Mr. Pushkin mentions to Mr. Fraser and Kathy, they both are looking very strong. A sub 50 second 440-yard time in high school is quite impressive, as Mr. Zunday would say. Braden comes around the final curve, knowing now that he is going to win. Hearing Mr. Fraser's comment and Kathy yelling "faster," Braden knew something is up. Giving it all he has, Braden crosses the finish line first, with Sokolov crossing 3 seconds later. While Braden is recovering, Mr. Pushkin tells Mr. Fraser, "Congratulations. Your man is to be highly commended." Mr. Fraser, returning the compliment, expresses, "And your man is the first one to give him any competition in 2 years. They both did very well." Mr. Pushkin tells Mr. Fraser, "I guess we'll see you again in the spring, sir." The two coaches shake hands, a welcome relief for Mr. Fraser compared to the torrent of constant strife offered up by Mr. Ruff. As it turns out, Mr. Pushkin is a very respectable coach. Braden, now recovered from the race, asks Mr. Fraser, "How did I do?" Mr. Fraser exclaims, "That was a 46.8. You broke the state record." Braden exclaims, "That's because I'm the chief S kicker. I knew something was up when I heard you yell something. I didn't know what you said, but then I heard Kathy yell faster. Wow. I can't believe it." Sokolov and Mr. Pushkin come over to shake Braden's hand. Mr. Fraser is glad to finally find a coach who acts in a sportsmanlike manner. On the opposite end of the congeniality spectrum, Mr. Ruff watched the heat from the sidelines. Mr. Ruff figures the odds of Northside being disqualified in the 4x440 relay are quite high. Last year, Eddie broke the state record in the 40-yard dash. This year, Braden just broke the state record in the 440-yard dash. Mr. Ruff figures something must be up, specifically steroid usage. Mr. Ruff now shifts his attention to the 40-yard dash final, which is up next. The call is made for the 40-yard dash final. Mr. Fraser, Kathy, and Eddie move to the starting line. Eddie is in lane 3, indicating that he had one of the best qualifying times during the preliminaries. At the starting line, Eddie asks Kathy, "How much do I get again if I win?" Missing the fun and games at the starting line, Kathy replies, "A gold medal still gets you a $3,000 bonus." The rest of the runners hear Eddie and Kathy's conversation. Eddie and Kathy used this dialogue last year, but none of the finalists, except for Dwayne Harris, have heard it before. Eddie and Kathy's dialogue irritates Harris, who also made the final. Catching Harris by surprise, the starter announces, "On your marks." The starter then announces, "Set." The buzzer sounds, and the 40-yard dash final is underway. Eddie, who is out of the blocks very quickly, takes an early lead. At 20 yards, Eddie has a good lead over Harris. Four other runners, all bunched up, battle it out for third place. At the finish line, Eddie crosses first, taking the gold medal this year. Second place goes to Harris, who is getting tired of being beaten by Eddie. Third place goes to Mikhail Sokolov, running for Liberty. At least Harris did not get beaten by Kathy this year. At the finish, Mr. Fraser congratulates Eddie, giving him a high five. Mr. Fraser exclaims, "That was an awesome run." Kathy gives Eddie a hug, and when Mr. Fraser turns away, Kathy gives Eddie a kiss. Turning back around, looking at Eddie and Kathy, Mr. Fraser smiles and comments, "Don't think I didn't hear that." Kathy gives Eddie another kiss, and Mr. Fraser comments, "You can kiss him all you want if it will make him run faster." Also noticing what is going on is Mr. Ruff, who is sure Eddie will be disqualified from the race. After the 40-yard dash final, Mr. Ruff heads over to the meet clerk's desk and brashly asks, "Can I find out if anyone has been disqualified due to steroid use? Are the results in yet?" The meet clerk informs Mr. Ruff, "The test results will be delivered by the doctor before the end of the meet. She's on her way." Mr. Ruff asks, "What's taking so long?" The meet clerk informs Mr. Ruff, "All of the results were compiled yesterday, on Friday. We couldn't deliver the results to all the teams simultaneously under those conditions." Pressing the issue, Mr. Ruff asks, "When will we know?" The meet clerk finally has to tell him, "You can ask the meet director, Dr. Karakova." Mr. Ruff asks, "Can you get him for me?" Reluctantly, the meet clerk pages Dr. Karakova. Arriving at the meet clerk's desk, Dr. Karakova is not too happy to see who is there waiting for him. Dr. Karakova cordially asks, "Mr. Ruff, what can I help you with today?" In a demanding tone, Mr. Ruff asks, "I want to know when the drug test results will be in. Can you tell me?" Dr. Karakova replies, "They are expected by the end of the meet. Any disqualifications will be made after the events are all over." Obviously irritated, Mr. Ruff asks, "Why wait until the meet is over?" Giving Mr. Ruff some wisdom, Dr. Karakova explains, "If I had the test results before the meet, I could disqualify athletes before the meet began. But, since I don't have them, any disqualifications will have to wait until after the meet. I am not about to disqualify anyone in mid-competition. That's just the way it is. And let me take this time to remind you. Your complaint to the board was delivered late in the season. If your complaint were delivered earlier, the test results would have been available a few days before the meet began." Mr. Ruff walks away disappointed, clearly demonstrating why he is not the meet director and Dr. Karakova is. After a long afternoon, the call for the final event is made. The 4x440 relay is the only event in which Centerville is participating this year. In their heat, Centerville will be up against Northside, Central, and Liberty High School. Liberty has participated in this event before, but was not a strong contender until Sokolov came along. Two other teams in the first heat, Washington and Union High, are unbeaten in this event this year in their division. But they are not likely to beat Northside. Mr. Fraser, Kathy, and Paula head to the starting line with Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Johnson. Mark asks Mr. Fraser if he can run the anchor leg so he can run against McCutcheon. Remembering how Mark and the 4x440 relay team creamed Centerville in the first meet of the season, Mr. Fraser agrees. Looking around at the field, Braden tells Mark that he will probably be up against Sokolov, who can run a sub-50-second quarter mile. This does not concern Mark too much, as Mark can also run a sub-50-second quarter mile. So can Eddie, and so can Johnson, not to mention that Braden broke the state record in the 440-yard dash earlier today. Mr. Ruff stands proud and tall with his team, quite confident that Northside will be disqualified. Looking over at McCutcheon, Mark smiles. That's about all it takes for Mark to distract McCutcheon these days. But, nevertheless, Mark points to McCutcheon's feet, leaving great uncertainty as to what he is bringing attention. The starter tells everyone in the first heat to get ready. Braden gets on the track, exclaiming, "This is my second ass kicking of the day. Who's ready to get their ass kicked?" Kathy mentions to Paula, "If Braden goes to college, he's going to have to stop doing that." Paula replies, "Yeah, but you know he won't." The starter announces, "On your marks." The starter then announces, "Set." The buzzer is sounded, and Braden is off to set another record. After Braden's first lap of the two-lap leg, Mr. Fraser exclaims, "He's clocking at 46-48. Can you believe it?" The rest of the team is glad to hear that, for an early lead is always good. The first to enter the transition zone, Braden hands off to Johnson. Mr. Fraser exclaims, "That was a 47 quarter. Mr. Fraser's time is approximate, but nevertheless represents an awesome run. With a good start to the race, Johnson intends to extend the lead. During Johnson's first lap, McCutcheon makes the mistake of a lifetime, yelling out to Mark, asking, "So, are you still juicing?" Mark gives McCutcheon the thumbs up, which is clearly seen by Mr. Ruff. With Centerville currently in second place, Mr. Ruff is looking forward to the gold medal. Back on the track, Johnson, in first place, extends the lead. Eddie gets on the track, waiting for the baton. Johnson comes around the final curve, with no one remotely close to him. Johnson hands off to Eddie, who takes off like a wild man. While Eddie is on his first lap, Mark sees that he will be up against McCutcheon and Sokolov. After Eddie's first lap, Mark gets on the track waiting for the handoff. Mark waves to McCutcheon in such a way suggesting that he get away from the track, pointing out to McCutcheon that his team is way behind. Eddie hands off to Mark, who is ready to wrap up the season. Mr. Fraser exclaims, "Another 47 quarter mile. These guys are really clocking." Mark begins his leg knowing that he cannot lose. For anyone to beat Mark, they would have to run a quarter mile in under 40 seconds. Since the world record for high school in a 440-yard sprint is 44.5 seconds, it is not likely McCutcheon or anyone else will catch Mark. Mark's opponent, however, is the clock. Mark, knowing what Braden's and Johnson's times were, is out to clench the state record in this event. After Mark's first lap, Mr. Fraser exclaims, "Look at him go. He's going after the record." During Mark's final lap, he gives it all he has. Crossing the finish line at 3 minutes and 15.3 seconds, the 4x440 relay team has, in fact, broken the state record. The team cheers wildly, giving each other high fives. Mr. Fraser exclaims, "A new record. Can you believe it? These guys were clocking." Kathy, jumping up onto Eddie's hips, gives him a huge hug. The team watches as the rest of the contestants cross the finish line. Mr. Pushkin, the Liberty coach, comes over to congratulate Mr. Fraser and the rest of the 4x440 relay team. Liberty, taking third place, finishes just behind the second place Centerville High School team. Heading back to the bench, the team does not care what else happens in this event. No other team in the remaining heats will come close to breaking the state record. The team has a half hour before the awards ceremony, so they use the time to get pizza. Mr. Fraser no longer objects to the team eating pizza. Mr. Zunday, who usually eats a pristine diet, even has a few slices himself. Mr. Zunday is almost convinced that pizza is part of a secret training protocol. With the team's performance this year, he might be onto something. After dinner, they return to the arena, where the awards ceremony is about to begin. The meet announcer introduces today's officials and congratulates all of the athletes for making it to this year's invitational meet. Mr. Fraser is again at the high point of his career. While they are waiting, Mr. Fraser updates Mr. Zunday on the day's events. Mr. Zunday spent most of the day at the field events area with Wendy, taking notes on next year's competition. With Bobby B. graduating this spring, Mr. Zunday knows the gold medal in the shot put will not be a free lunch next year. The announcement is made, introducing the winners of the 40-yard dash. Eddie is called to the stage and stands on the first-place tier. Dwayne Harris stands on the second-place tier and Mikhail Sokolov on the third-place tier. When Eddie is draped with his medal, the entire bench, knowing that this is only the beginning, cheers. Eddie returns to the team bench, where he sits with Kathy. In other individual events, Mark takes the gold medal in the 220-yard dash, breaking the state record this year, and gets a special medal for that accomplishment. Braden takes the gold medal in the 440-yard dash, also getting a special medal for breaking the state record. In the big event of the meet, Mitchell, Johnson, and Akinmola respectively take the gold, silver, and bronze medal in the 880-yard run. Previously, no team has ever taken all three medals in one event. In the mile, Mitchell takes the gold medal and Akinmola takes the silver medal. Akinmola's time today would have taken the gold medal last year in this event. Akinmola is almost assured of taking the gold next year after Mitchell graduates. The focus then turns to the field events, where Bobby B is called to the stage for the gold medal in the shot put. Bobby B receives a special medal for setting a state record in that event that is not likely to be broken for years to come. Apparently, all that special care Bobby B and Erika give to the shot put has paid off. In the relay events, Hoffa, Erika, Tessa, and John win the silver medal in the mile medley relay. This relay team will likely win the gold medal next year when most of them are seniors. And in the 4x880 relay, Akinmola, Johnson, Mitchell, and Amber take the gold medal. The meet announcer then introduces the winners of the last event of the day. The meet announcer declares, in the 4x440 relay, first place goes to Northside High School. Running for Northside are Axel Braden, Eric Johnson, Edward Boganskaya, and Mark Svoboda. The 4x440 relay team takes their place on the first place tier. Called to the second place tier is Liberty High School, and called to the third place tier is Central High School. Eddie whispers to Mark, I thought McCrutchen's team came in second. Mark whispers back, yeah. Me too. The gold medal winners are draped with two medals, one for winning their event, and another for breaking the state record. The crowd cheers, and the medalists wave to their fans. Not everyone, however, is cheering. Over at the meet clerk's desk, no small disturbance arises. On the way back to the bench, seeing Mr. Fraser and a few other coaches at the meet clerk's desk, Eddie, Mark, Braden, and Johnson take a slight detour. Seeing Mr. Ruff in a heated rage, Eddie tells Mark, I wonder what his problem is this year. Mark replies, the same as last year. Someone pissed in his cornflakes this morning. Johnson comments, maybe it's that time of the month. Listening from a distance, the 4x440 relay team tries to figure out what is going on. Dr. Karakova is overheard telling Mr. Ruff, he tested positive, so your team had to be disqualified. Mark asks his relay team members, did you hear that? Eddie replies, yeah. I wonder who it was. Listening further, Mark hears Dr. Karakova tell Mr. Ruff, I understand your concern, but Todd McCutchen tested positive. There are two disqualifications in this meet. One was in the shot put, and the other was your runner. Mr. Ruff continues to yell, screaming, how about Northside? Just look at all of those guys. And one of them even admitted to taking steroids. Dr. Karakova, having enough of Mr. Ruff, explains, everyone on Northside tested negative. They are clean. Mr. Ruff exclaims, that can't be. Dr. Karakova responds, they all took the same drug test. The test does not lie. Mr. Ruff, still bent out of shape, points to Mark, exclaiming, it's that one. He admitted to taking steroids. Mark laughs, telling Eddie, wow. Their coach is really having a shit fit. Eddie adds, yeah. Worse than Mr. Crumb's shit fits. Mark, wanting to hear more, walks up to the commotion convention and whispers to Mr. Frazier, McCutcheon's the sucker of the year. So is his coach. Mr. Frazier whispers back, yeah. I'd say so. Unfortunately, they don't give medals for being a sucker. Mark comments, well, lollipops could kind of look like medals. Maybe we could make a special medal for them. A lemon lollipop could be the gold medal for the first place sucker. Mr. Frazier laughs, always getting some enjoyment out of Mark's sense of humor. Mr. Ruff, directing his attention to Mark, exclaims, you told Todd you take steroids. Am I right? Mark raises his voice, telling Mr. Ruff, yeah, I told him that. And he's a sucker to believe it. Just like he's a sucker to check his shoelaces when I tell him they are untied. Just like he's a sucker to check his shorts when I told him his diaper is leaking. Just like he's a sucker when I told him he got bitten by a prickly sea spider and his tendons are going to rot away. And in the spring, I'm going to tell him his balls are shriveling up because he takes steroids. And the first thing he's going to do is feel them to check. And you're a sucker to believe any of the crap he tells you. You must really be a special kind of stupid to believe all that Amazon woman crap last year. They should give you a gold medal for being the sucker coach of the year. Listening to Mark's rant, Mr. Ruff turns a vibrant shade of red. Angered by Mark's last comment, Mr. Ruff starts chasing Mark, telling him, get over here. Mark runs backwards and in circles, wearing the Centerville coach out. Mr. Frazier, Eddie, Braden, and Johnson laugh as Mr. Ruff attempts to catch Mark. Braden mentions to Eddie and Johnson, Mark is kicking his ass big time. Eddie tells Braden and Johnson, hey, it looks like a game of kill the man with the ball. Referring to Mr. Ruff, Johnson points out, check it out. He runs like a five-year-old girl. Mr. Frazier laughs, hardly believing what he is seeing. Mr. Ruff finally gives up trying to catch Mark and walks back to the meat clerk's desk. Dr. Karakova asks, okay, are we done here? All out of breath, Mr. Ruff responds, for now. But you haven't heard the end of this. Dr. Karakova tells the irate coach, actually, yes I have. After today, the meet is closed. And I will not be addressing this or any further issues. Mr. Ruff tells Mr. Frazier, well, what do you have to say for yourself? Sick and tired of Mr. Ruff's antics, Mr. Frazier replies, nothing. I'm too busy developing undetectable steroids in my lab behind our gym. Mr. Frazier walks away, with the 4x440 relay champions following him. Mr. Ruff exclaims to Dr. Karakova, did you hear that? Dr. Karakova calmly replies, yes. And I've heard everything Mark said, but apparently you haven't. Mr. Ruff goes back to his bench, wondering if McCutcheon was actually taking steroids or whether it was a setup. After all, Mr. Ruff believes that Dr. Karakova has never paid one bit of attention to any of his complaints. But, as usual, Mr. Ruff would be wrong. Dr. Karakova, at Mr. Ruff's request, had all the athletes participating in the state invitational meet tested for steroid use. Unfortunately, for Mr. Ruff, that backfired in a big way. Mr. Ruff should be embarrassed, but he's not. At the end of the day, Dr. Karakova is confident that Mr. Ruff will have an even more interesting complaint come the spring. At the team bench, Mr. Frazier encounters a lot of college scouts trying to recruit his team members. Mr. Frazier lets the scouts talk with the team, hoping that some of them may pick up a scholarship. With the team taking so many medals, news reporters and photographers also gather around the north side bench. The team poses for photographs, displaying their medals proudly around their necks. When the reporters approach Mr. Frazier, he instructs them to talk with the athletes, telling them that today is their day. With the indoor track season now officially over, Eddie is clearly much faster than he was last year. Although Eddie won every event this season, he did not push himself to his limit during the indoor season. Mark broke the state record in the 220-yard dash, surprising even himself. Braden is at his best, breaking the state record in the 440-yard dash. Bobby B. completely destroyed the state record in the shot put during this meet. The 4x440-yard relay team is the best the state has ever seen. And Mitchell is undefeated in the mile this year. Johnson, likewise, has won or placed in every regular season event he has participated in. Monday, at school, the medalists all proudly display their medals around their necks. Word has gotten around very quickly that Braden has broken the state record for the 440-yard dash, Mark has broken the state record in the 220-yard dash, the 4x440 relay team has broken the state record, and Bobby B. has shattered the state shot put record that had stood for many years. It's no secret how that news got around. Before the first bell rang, Braden must have told 100 people. By the end of the day, everyone in the school will know of Braden's accomplishments. Monday morning starts with physics class. Eddie and the tribe sit in their usual place near the window, discussing why Chucky never got suspended for beating up Mr. Crum. After all, beating up the principal should be considered a serious offense. But, as it turns out, Chucky got sent to detention in lieu of suspension. Detention, however, is far worse than suspension for Chucky, since it cuts into his pot-smoking time. Miss Amherst, who attended the state invitational meet, walks in. She is well aware of the events that occurred over the weekend. After taking attendance, she asks Eddie, Mark, Braden, Johnson, Mitchell and Bobby B. to come to the front of the classroom. Miss Amherst announces to the class, Eddie, Mark, Axel, Eric, Gary, and Robert have all won several medals in the state invitational meet in track and field this past weekend. They've also broken several of the state records. We have learned a lot about physics in this class, and they have taken what they have learned and applied it to their sport. Please give them a round of applause. The class cheers and applauds, and the athletes again feel that their efforts are appreciated beyond the track. With little time off before the spring season begins, tryouts will begin on Wednesday next week. This does not give the team much of a break, but, for the medalists, the week of tryouts is a break per se. As Kathy pointed out many times in the past, during tryouts, Eddie must have run a total of 540 yards during each spring tryout session. That can hardly be called a workout.